Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, real solutions, and as always, we keep it real. And so I want to thank all the real ones. So family, check it out. We're going to talk about how to hear God when life is loud. And let's be honest, life is loud.
A lot.
Life is loud. So with me, I got Pastor Ernesto, a.k.a. Truth Teller. I forgot to do my whole Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love. I don't know. Sometimes I just be forgetting stuff.
Just jump right into it.
I just want to jump right into it. Yeah.
And can I give a shout out real quick?
Yeah,
man. I got some letters from prison, man. Shout out to Martin J. Alvarez in Liberty CI, Bristol, Florida. Shout out to Michael A. Torrey. Also, Florida State Prison. And shout out to Lisa Trujillo in Plain State Jail here in Dayton, Texas. Man, we're receiving your letters. Just know that. We get your letters. We read them. We're blessed by them. And we're working on a system on answering everyone because we get a lot of letters. But I feel like what we're going to talk about today can answer a lot of the contact that was in these letters. So
nice.
If you watch the Panda app, listen up because some of your questions will be answered today.
Hey, we need your help too, getting everybody to pre-order the book. That's crazy. No, that's God.
Amen.
Let's see. Oh, tell, you know, I was at the dentist and they were doing the whole teeth cleaning. Fire. And then the lady that I was talking to, she started talking to me. She didn't know who I was and she didn't know what we did, but she started talking to me about, you know, my nephew had me download an app, right? And so I'm like, download an app. And I go, is he in prison? She's like, yeah. And then so I started laughing. She goes, what's wrong? I go, it's the Pando app, huh? She goes, yeah, I didn't know. So keep talking to your family members.
Amen.
Because, like, she was like, she's like, well, my church is really like the gym. That's kind of where I get it. And she goes, but he's introducing me to so many new things. So it was cool to hear that somebody that was behind the walls is actually like ministering, not just to her, but to her kid. Like she's like, he calls every day, ministers to him. So that's really cool. So tell everybody out here, if they don't have the Pando app, that they could go to our YouTube channel, This Is Real with Juan Martinez, and they can watch the same episodes you guys are watching, except for the Yo MTV Raps. I mean, Yo Real TV Raps. Oh, my God.
Like MTV?
Yeah.
MTV, well, that's what
we
got.
Hey, listen, we do the Yo Real TV Raps because sometimes they want music and stuff, and I remember what it was like. And I said MTV because realistically, back in the day, music, you could just kick it with videos, you know? And so that's the element that we try to give a movie. You just try to do it fully with Jesus.
Amen.
So keep doing what you're doing. Make sure you tell your outside family here and tell them to go come visit Get Rap Church, you know? We're all about setting the captives free and helping families get restored back and going into community. So the show today is titled, How to Hear God When Life is Loud. So the question is God speaking, or maybe am I even listening, right? So we want to talk about distractions. We want to talk about the power of silence, and we're going to talk about how to truly tune in to the voice of God, right? So before we jump into this, you know, I want to read that part in 1 Kings 19. I want to read that part because I don't know if you ever tried to like, you ever been at a restaurant and it gets like really loud? We went to a restaurant, new one in the Woodlands, and it was loud. And I was like, we either had to yell or try to, like, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was so loud that pretty much we had to yell at each other to kind of be heard. Yeah. And that's how many of us live spiritually. We're around so much noise around us that we can't hear God.
That's fire.
You with me?
Yep.
And so I'm going to read this is 1 Kings 19. From 11 to 13,
right?
Yep. They said, then go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. So the Lord's presence is everything, right? It says, at that moment the Lord passed by. A great mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Ernesto?" Now, what are you doing here, Elijah? Or what are you doing here? Maybe that's what the Lord is asking you right now, right? So, you know, to the back end is that right now, after a powerful moment, I think it was on Mount Carmel, he crashes physically, emotionally, spiritually. He runs and hides in a cave, right? Because you would say, hey, why did he run in the cave? Yeah. Like Jezebel had him running.
Yeah.
Right? Here's this guy who was defeated. He's like this dude, like a warrior, yeah, right? Maybe that's you. Yeah. You've conquered some things, and then something got you running, right? When God show up, he doesn't shout. I know sometimes we think that God is always yelling or something. And sometimes even when I see deliverance and stuff, and I'm not knocking it. I know that maybe God does it like that through some people. But to think that only...
it's that only way.
Yeah, that's inaccurate, right? Because when I usually talk to people. And sometimes I whisper. So it's... even though we're not talking about deliverance, I just think that... I guess the view is that God only yells.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's the impression of the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever the Holy Spirit imprints in us to do is kind of what we have to do. I've seen demons casted out by just, hey, come out.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh, no, totally.
Nothing ecstatic. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Crazy.
So we get that sometimes God doesn't fill the silence. He is the silence.
That's fire.
Deep, right?
That's super deep.
Because, like, I don't know. I guess when I was reading that, you know, and I don't know, you was reading it as well yesterday, and when you think about how you think God would come, right? Because there's all these things. I remember when I was a kid, and people like, when thunder and all that, it's like, oh, he's up there bowling, you know? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you know, because you see the cartoons, yeah. And you always think, like, God coming, like, right? You know, I don't know, you don't think of a gentle whisper.
That's why sometimes we miss them. That's why the Pharisees and them missed them.
Mm.
Like, they were expecting a king and
white
an army
horse.
And a white horse, yeah,
yeah,
to come and just war against the Romans. And
yeah.
And he was right before them, and humble on the donkey.
Yeah, I think
healing, the, you know what I'm saying?
Like, facts.
So they expected him to be a certain way, and he wasn't. And I think that we do that a lot with Christ, you know, that we expect him to handle certain things a certain way. You know, one of the things that I feel like we do that with, in my opinion, is vengeance. Like, we expect them to go get vengeance on people, but I feel like sometimes vengeance yeah. is salvation. Like, he goes and he saves that life. He mm-hmm. saves that soul, and that person now no longer can do the works of the kingdom of darkness, but now he's engrafted in the kingdom of heaven, mm-hmm. and he's really transformed and conformed. So vengeance can look different. Everything can look love, you know, like forgiveness, all these things that we have a certain conception of in the world, that he's like, nah, I don't look like that.
Yeah,
that silence, that's fire.
Yeah, and let's go with that, right? Because I think a lot of times what keeps us from hearing is that main thing, like that we don't think in the silence.
Yeah.
And so if we're gonna get real, the loudest distractions that drown out our voice are internal noise, right? Because sometimes we think of outside noise. Like, I don't know, are you like an overthinker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so overthinking,
yeah.
right? Overthinking, when you start overthinking things, that sounds really loud. So yeah. it's not just loud out here. It's inside,
here, yeah.
right? Because everything happens for us internally.
Facts.
We live from that, right? The issues of life come from the heart.
Yeah.
So even though we're like, oh, it's loud out here.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to be in a place, like you, I don't know, I got these new Apple, the headphones.
Sound cancellation.
Uh-huh, yeah. And we're like, it was like I was in the plane and it was like,
yeah.
right? And I'm like, whoa, right? And so you're in here, because everything is about in here. And I hear a lot of times where people are like, oh, you know, they start talking about all these outside things. But I believe that internally, when your life continues to mature in the Lord, instead of overthinking and having anxiety and being overwhelmed emotionally, you can actually go to Philippians 4:6-7, where it talks about everything through prayer, to bring your request to God, right? And so us pausing. When I think about silence, I think about pausing, right? Like, he had to stop. You gotta slow down to hear a whisper.
Yeah. You gotta be quiet, because if you're louder than the whisper, you never hear it.
Yeah. or if you're moving,
yeah,
or if you're kind of thinking, right? Yeah. There has to, because I know I try to give the room for grace and mercy depending where people are at, but sometimes when people tell me like they've been doing it for 20 years or whatever, and they still don't know how to, right? Like when you look at like, I don't know, not to bring Bruce Lee or anything like that, right? But their form of meditation
was calm, yeah,
where they could like, they gotta. For us, Jesus is the center,
yeah,
right. So I'm not saying go do, you know, all this other stuff, you know, they're quick. Oh, he go said to
find
go
your
do,
chi.
Become a Buddhist or something. No, I'm saying like the center is Jesus,
yeah,
the Word, and so you should at some point as you keep maturing, you should be able to sit in silence. You should be able to be still. And I don't know. That was, like, I had to practice that. I felt like that didn't come natural to me.
No, I don't think it does, because I think a lot of times we're looking for our own solutions. We're leaning on our own understanding. We're anxious. Like, if we think about it, the loudest place we can be at is in ourselves. Our doubts, our fears,
all day
our
long.
Uncertainty,
yeah.
Or all the things that we harbor onto that we implement into our walks or into our thinking or into our circumstances and situations. Like, we make those things loud, because if the only way for us to be quiet is to get out of ourselves, right? It's to be selfless.
I just thought, let's get loud.
It's to get out of ourselves and allow and listen to Christ.
Yeah.
Because if we're consistently like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. Or even resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness. Like, those things are loud.
Yeah. And that, well, and that's what the Word is for. When we talk,
facts.
It's like we use all these terms. Like, you know, because I was telling somebody yesterday that I was like, look, the Bible says, think about these things. And so you could get good at quoting, let's say, the verse, think about these things that are true, honorable, pure, but the verse is supposed to give you life. So like, let's say when I you know, I like talking about the marriage stuff, but when things get loud internally, like about my wife, when I kind of look at her and I think she's an enemy because yeah. The way I'm feeling,
yeah,
I have to like internally think about things that I just don't go. I might say the verse to myself, like, because I was teaching somebody yesterday on how to, like, pray out scripture. Because prayer is an exchange. You know, here, I'm going to give you this. Give me heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven on earth. Yep, yep. That's what prayer really is. It's the exchange. So when I am literally doing that, let's say, and I'm heated or something, it's getting real loud up in here, right? I'll, like, you know, and I could tell. Like, I'm starting to be off or unaligned, right? I'm starting to get like moody or whatever.
Emotional.
I kind of go to, okay, Lord, I know you tell me that to think about things that are true and honorable and pure. And so what's true? And I start thinking about things that are true. I know that I'm a mm-hmm. son. Yeah. I know that my wife loves me, right? Like, there's things that are true. I start thinking about things that are honorable. So I'm filling myself with truth, not believing the lie that the mm-hmm. enemy's telling me. And the weapons that I have, which are the sword of the spirit, the truth, is not just to be like, I have the sword. It's like, yes, I have the word. So I'm going to fight you with the word. And I'm going to actually do my best to live out that word while I'm praying. So, because that's my truth.
Yeah.
And my belief drives my behavior. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm catching too that you're saying is that in order for you to even do that, you have to know truth.
You have
yeah, because if you don't know truth, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know his word, if you don't know his character, if you don't stand on his promises, mm-hmm. then you'll never be able to invite that silence in
all day long.
And you'll stand on your distractions and yourself. Yeah. And that's fire that you're saying this, because one of the letters that I was reading, he was at the person was asking, like,
really?
Yeah, how I have all, and to paraphrase wild. What he was
this
saying.
Is, that's the Lord. That's
yeah, a, he's and, like, I have all these loud things in my mind, like resentment and hurt. He's like, he asked, how do you have so much peace? How do you have so much joy? You
yeah. know,
so the fact that we're talking about this is super fire.
You know, because it's all those verses, like, and again, it doesn't start off like this, right? Because everything, like, I think I've said this before to you, like, let's say I was studying for 4 years. Like, I was in prison, and let's say all day I'm eating. I found out that I wasn't actually living them out till like 4 years later.
Now
I could quote it. I knew it, but I didn't know it. And it wasn't experiential knowledge, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't living it out. I can quote it, but I had to unlearn things to relearn. I had to meditate. I had to sit. Because at some point, when I would take a thought captive, I literally started like this. I remember, like, literally, I could take you, you know, I was like, I would think, let's say this thought came, and I would say, I take this thought captive. I would do this.
Yeah.
And then I would say, I'm going to run it through the obedient. What is, Jesus, what do you say about this? What is the truth that I have to learn that's not this
that
I have right here that I have to give to you? And then I'm going to grab the new. I literally did this.
Yeah.
And then this is my new way of thinking. And why do I get angry? And who taught me to get angry like that? And why does this bother me?
Yeah.
Am I right? Am I wrong? Like, it, I'm talking daily.
Yeah. Yeah, consistently.
Yeah.
In every thought. Yeah.
I would think stuff like, because something that always got me in trouble that I used to tell my son was, he would like go out, oh, I'm just going to go outside. You know, it's midnight. I'm like, what are you doing outside at midnight? Now, in his mind, he's like, I'm just trying to. I'm like, bro, you want to get high. He's like, I don't want to get high. I'm like, yes, you're just lying to yourself.
Yeah.
So when I got out, I know this because I know me.
Yeah.
I just know the game, right? Or the lie or deception. So I would get upset in the beginning, like upset. I'm like, man, this is when I used to be on this whole kick of when Ruthie says, man, I feel like you're punking me out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And so, well, I got to be Jesus. You know, he would say that. And so I would get this thought, and the thought would be like, yo, go take a drive.
Jump in the car.
So then I would sit. I'd almost make it to the car sometimes, but I wouldn't leave. I would sit, and I would say, why do you want to go?
Yeah.
And then another one, you just want to go, like, clear your head and stuff. I said, but I could clear my head here.
Yeah.
And so since I didn't know what to do back then, I would literally go into the room. I would lock myself in the room, and I would turn on music or something. Sometimes I would turn on the TV.
Yeah.
Right, because I didn't know. I would turn it on. And every time, one time I turned it on, and it was Kirk Franklin singing. And I'm like, great. Right? But so you have weapons.
Facts.
That God has given us. We just don't utilize them. So let's look at another one. Cultural noise, like opinions, media, fear-based narratives, right? Because you start thinking, well, what if FOMO? What if I don't go? And what if, you know, what if all these things? And Mark 4:19 says that the cares of the world choke the word.
Mm.
So while you're walking this out and you're learning and you're growing, a lot of times, what's choking out the word is the care, is the opinions of other people. Yeah. You know, when I was in prison, a lady wrote me, and literally, you know, because I guess there was this girl, right? There's always a girl in the picture, and you know, I was learning Jesus, and in that beginning, I was like, yo, I think I'm gonna change my life, like very, very, very beginning, and I got this long couple page letter. You know, if you're out there, you know, not the girl, but the aunt, you know, God did do something in me, but she was. She would put, you will never change. I mean, this letter was deep. I mean, it hit me in the bottom of my feet. You know, she was like, you're going to die a drug dealer. So leave her alone. You will never amount to nothing. This is who you are. Just accept it. I never had somebody talk to me like that. It wasn't even like cussing me out.
Yeah, it was
just a dip. But it was curse.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, you'll never. She just admit who you are. You've been in prison most of your life, and you will never get out of there. You will always be in prison. And it rocked me, right? I'm like, but it also fueled me. Yeah. I was like, you're tripping. Yeah. I'm like, no, this is real. Amen. And that's the part, I think, when I think, and you said it, because I knew I was a son. By that point, I was saved.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know how to maneuver, and I was still, I was lacking discipleship, right? But I knew I was a son. I know I got saved because my life, I wouldn't even been hurt.
Yeah, the way you saw was different.
Yeah. So knowing some of those things, whether I think you're big on the identity. When I knew that, brother, you could have called me whatever you want.
Yeah, facts. You know, another thing too that I feel like the world culture is with the things that the world values. You know, those things are also distractions and can be loud noise. And sometimes we justify them because they're kind of like good things.
Oh, no. Yeah,
things
totally
that are socially acceptable.
Socially acceptable.
Yeah, or like Paul says, all things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Beneficial.
So some things that that the world values that we also value, we try to partake in, and God's like, nah, that's a distraction. or that's not even of me, or that's not what I have for you in this season. And even identifying those things that the world values that we ourselves value is important, because if we're pursuing those things, we're drowning him out.
Yeah, and that's the chokes. That's the
choking,
the
yeah.
cares of the world choke the world. Facts. So if you're wondering why you don't hear him, sometimes you have to check what voices you're letting in.
Yeah.
Right? Because you shouldn't be letting all voices. There's a voice. A still small voice, which is my next one. Spiritual expectations. In other words, you're looking, you're going to know this one because we've all done it and some are still doing it. And it's when you're looking for a sign instead of hearing the whisper. Right? That'll mess you up.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I hear, well, I was watching this and all of a sudden I felt like, you know, there's a confirmation here. And you're looking for 45 confirmations. Yeah. And then you go, and if the enemy, which the enemy is real, so the enemy can take and speak to someone, or he could opt you out if you're just looking for signs. He loves that.
Yes. You're like, he'll give you the thing. Sign you're looking for.
Yeah. It's like you're looking. God. Yeah. You're looking for the golden arches of McDonald's, but yeah. in Jesus. Yeah. Right? And so John 10:27 says this, my sheep hear my voice. So you got relationship tunes your ear to recognize God's tone.
Yeah, that's
relationship.
I think that's sometimes where we get the whole like, well, God told me, God told you the opposite the next day or the next week.
Oh yeah, no.
Last week you said God told you this, God and the next this. Week God told you the total opposite. Like,
yeah.
Are you sure it was God to begin with,
or all day long?
Because you're looking for a sign or some sort of wonder or something that show me this, God. That's the importance of having a relationship and knowing his voice and spending time with him and knowing truth. Because if you don't know, anything will baffle you. Anything will sway you.
There's something that you say a lot. It's something about heaven that you always go, oh, it's heaven. Man, when people are like maybe not doing things the right way, you always attribute. There's this saying that you always say about heaven.
Heaven?
No, not heaven. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. But no. Well, yeah, as heavenkins, we should always be bringing heaven. Yeah. But there's something that you say.
You'll remember.
And so it should always have a tone of heaven.
Yeah.
Always.
The characteristics.
Yeah. And so, you know, early this morning, I was talking to this gentleman about fruit. And we were reading John 15, and he is trying to learn. He is trying to grow. He's super hungry, older gentleman. And he, you know, when we're talking fruit, he's like, what's... I go, let's go to Galatians. So we went to Galatians, and I said... And so, you know, people get frustrated. He gets frustrated because he's like, man, I don't know. You know, and I was like, no, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Right? So today, you just read some of this, and you know you got to be connected to the... You know, and God loves you and follow his commands, right? And then there's this fruit. And so he learned what fruit was. And I've been enjoying that because I'm growing too, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm teaching him is how to hear God for himself. So I was telling him, look, it doesn't matter any argument on the planet. When it kind of is, it's good. And sometimes I feel like that part where I don't want to say it's bad, but like, the more you become a son and you're in this relationship, and the more you are a friend and he's sharing all these things with you, the more you walk in this peace, mm-hmm. the more you live out joy, the more you are patient, you begin to see, not I'm not like walking around inspecting everybody's fruit, but yeah. when I want to know where a person is,
yeah.
and if he's connected to God, I look at his fruit. Because sometimes, and I know this has happened to you because I've been walking with you for a while, but where somebody's like, you have fruit, but they're trying to tell you that you're doing this wrong and stuff, but they don't have fruit.
Yeah. Yep.
You with me? Yep, it's like the fruitless trying to tell the fruitful
that you ain't got no fruit.
Yeah, because they're offended and they're upset and all this stuff, and all the is super loud in here.
Yeah.
And since they don't know the voice of Jesus, always love always heals.
Facts.
And it always unites.
Amen.
It doesn't destroy and divide.
Facts. Right? I feel like if they were to sit down and listen, they'd see that their motive of trying to expose you being fruitless is all off the muscle. You know what I'm saying? Wrong.
So, so this is the part of having that relationship with God. So let's say, I could say, you know, you have a relationship with God. And let's say we're both sheep. Okay? We're both sheep. So that means we have stupid times.
Yep.
But we're sheep because we listen to his voice. So, people, let's say the person that's listening to God, and he comes in and gives you a biblical advice, and you're offended, but he gives you advice biblically. It should reconcile you every single time. If you're both sheep, even if you were like, man, I don't know right now.
Yeah.
Or you're upset and you say something dumb. There should be something that quickeneth in your mortal body. Yeah, you're like, that says like, nah, that he's right.
Facts.
Right? And then humility of like, So I think it's really important, that whole relationship aspect, to, so that you can learn how to tune your ear to recognize that that's Jesus speaking through my kid. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus speaking through my wife. Holy Spirit. Jesus. Yes.
I think the most meaningful moments of that particular circumstance situation have been in my marriage. Because for a long time, my wife was my enemy. You know, and it stemmed from the fact that she came against what I wanted to do in the world. Like, I wanted to sell dope. I wanted to be outside till 5 in the morning. I wanted to be getting high. And she always came against what I felt my satisfactions and my desires were.
Totally.
So when we got saved, like, my desire to do ministry, my desire to do these things, she came against those because she was always speaking from a temperature of, no, family, bro. Like, what about your house? What about your kids? And the fact that she was going against those things, my mind, enemy. So you taught me, like, hey, no, you have to listen to, allow her to be the Holy Spirit in your life. Allow her to, because sometimes she's hearing from God.
Yeah.
I'm the one being stubborn. Yeah. I'm like, no, they don't want me to do. And she's like, nah, like, sit down and pray. Or spend time with your kids.
And she's like, I've just been praying all week. Right?
Yeah. Like, oh. Yeah, I've been preaching all week. Nah, like, so it became something that I had to learn to do and listen for the Holy Spirit and people speaking to me, even when I didn't agree with, like, for example, when me and you had our little disagreement season that I went with, like, I had to understand and say, this is God speaking through him. This is the leader that God has put over my life. So am I tripping or, you know, what's going on?
Yeah. And so we'll do a few things so we could hear him again that I believe, and then we'll talk about what it looks like when you're kind of not living it out and when you're living it out, right? So just in case, so we can cover all these areas. But I think something that's important that, again, I felt like it's something even that when I walk with you, I'm like, hey, you know, you can't get an oil change moving, you know, or it's just something that I feel like because we come from grinding.
Yeah.
We come from chasing drugs or you come, it doesn't even have to be like, you could be anything that you are. I businessmen experience this a lot.
We come from chasing selfish desires.
But yeah, I mean, running.
Pursuing them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So then we think we apply the same thing to Jesus.
It's addiction.
Yeah. And it's not bad to work hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, because you always hear like, oh, I don't have time. And it's like, you do have time for what you value. You prioritize based on your values. And you actually show me your values by what you prioritize.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. So you could be like, oh no, like I was telling you, I was being open and honest and I was like, yeah, you know, I gotta, and you've been on me, I think since last week, of like, yo, so this part of exercising that, you know, I was telling when I stay quiet, it's kind of funny because I've been dialoguing with God and I started a couple times, but again, from the wrong place of like, you know, to get back the way I looked. Not from the place of like being healthy. So I was like, no, I don't have nothing in the, like, no junk. Like, it's open. And Jesus is like, I need you to clean that up.
Yeah.
For me, it's exercising. And then I'm like, yeah, can I get to it? Kind of like a kid. I'll get to it.
Next week.
Yeah, next week or when I have time.
Yeah.
And he's like, I feel like I'm really in that season because I feel like I've done this. You know, when he talked to me about my finances, I've done that there. I've done that when it comes to my home and my wife and ministry in certain aspects, there's that one side, and I know why is how I view it, right? Yeah. So that's what I got out of my quiet place, and only when I'm quiet. So I think you got to create a quiet space. You got to make space. It's basically relationship.
Isn't it beautiful that whenever we sit with him in quietness, like he shows you all that stuff?
Oh yeah,
like we don't even have to go searching.
No,
like the fact that we can sit, take time to sit at his feet and sit with him and listen to him, he'll be like, well, look, this is what we're gonna do. It's the whole, like, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, I will order your steps.
All day long.
Like, all you got to do is acknowledge me. All you got to do is sit with me and partake in me and my presence. And I will show you, hey, what we're doing and where we're going, how we're getting there, when we're getting there.
All day
Sometimes
long.
He's not going to show you what it looks like or the outcome, but you can trust in his character. You can trust in who he is, that it's going to work out for his glory and for the good.
Oh, yeah.
He's willing. He wants to do those things
all day long. Well, Jesus withdrew to quiet places, Luke 5:16, right? He withdrew to quiet places, meaning that if we're following in his steps,
yeah, we withdraw to quiet places.
We withdraw to quiet places.
That doesn't mean isolation.
Definitely doesn't mean isolation.
Because people would be like, see, I could be quiet by myself.
No, never isolate. Isolation is the devil's playground, right? That's where he counsels you, right? There's wisdom in a multitude of counsel, right? And to be around, because we all need each other. You want to read your word daily. God speaks through his word. If we don't know his written voice, we won't know, or we won't trust his whispered voice.
Come on. That's fire. Say that again.
God speaks through his word. If we don't know his written voice, we won't trust his whispered voice.
That's fire. You won't be able even to hear it.
Yeah.
There's this song that was like, Waymaker, Miracle
Worker, and then Promise Keeper, Light in the Dark. Hey, you know we jamming because we got April jamming. That's it, we're writing an album.
In part of that song, he says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't hear it.
Is that
it,
the reggae version?
I don't hear I don't hear you're speaking, like, it's because we're not listening. It's because, and sometimes we're not listening because we don't even know his voice. So until you know his written word, you won't even know when he's speaking to you.
You won't trust his whispered voice.
Yeah, even if he is speaking to you.
And let me tell you, this is something I'm currently practicing, okay? So I'm going to be a little vulnerable. Well, I think I've, you know, I don't mind. I don't care.
But, I mean, last time you were going in.
I've went in and out of this, okay? So what I mean by that is I had to learn that me spending time with God, you know, I used to study, and that's good. I used to study for a sermon, you know, and so I had to learn that I'm not studying for a sermon. So I'm taking you in the, I had to learn that I'm actually preparing my heart.
Amen.
And from my heart, you know, there's a sermon there, right? So I had to learn that. Then I had to learn that studying doesn't equate to quiet place, or let me give it another word, secret place. It's different, man.
Facts.
It's just different. To get into that, tap into that secret place, you have to learn to be still. And you know, I hear it all the time when people are like, you know, because I do the leg, you know, I do all that, right? And they go, man, I just can't. I go, you can. And I know you can because I do it.
He said, do the leg. I'm like,
yeah. Well, because we're hyper.
Yeah.
And we attribute more. So check it out. We're like, instead I have ADHD. So what you're basically saying is that ADHD is greater than Jesus. I've learned that a long time ago when I stopped saying, man, I'm not smart enough, or I don't like to read. I eliminated that. I started living. This is what living from is.
Come on, preach.
I start pulling from the word that I've filled myself up with. So I'm like, man, I don't have to be, because my father is a genius. And so therefore, by default,
I am. If he lives in me, come on.
Yeah, so I stopped because I feel like we keep making excuses for why we can't.
Yeah.
And God has broken that wall.
Amen.
And he's given me a bridge to actually be able to, not in my strength, but in the strength of the Spirit, according to the truth that I'm learning.
Amen.
And I think a lot of times we put this. Well, I can't cause this. Yeah. I can't cause that. I'm excited for this year of your life because I feel like you've taken a leap. You're going to go in experiential knowledge to some things that God is going to rock your world. I'm prophesying this to you, but I just know.
I receive it.
Because that's just, it's just how God works. Amen. Like our dependency should be on him. Like it ain't, well, I can't sit still. No, you can, because he said be still, so then you can. like how do you, like, think about it. Just think about, even, I've been telling the church this lately, like, listen to what you say. Just listen to you speak to people and listen to the things you say. And I've heard this a million times. Well, I can't because I can't sit still. Well, I can't because I'm just hyper. So when he says be still, he should have put, be still and know that I am God. But if you're hyper, he doesn't put that.
You won't.
He puts that. Now, is it a little more challenging for me?
Yeah.
Yes. I have to remove every, no iPad, no phone. I see you like this. So in my moment, I have to take that off. I do.
Yeah.
Because if not, I know me, and I'll be doing the same thing.
Squirrel.
Right? All day long. Yeah. So I have to remove everything. I don't come to the office. I sit sometimes in the middle of my floor, and I have moments because I know that if I keep doing things in the night, like I have to do something in order for that to happen, right? Yeah. When I want to romance my wife, I got to find that place where I can just be me and her.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I ain't going to be like, all right, everybody. You know, that would be weird and crazy, yeah, you know? Yeah. So I think it's important for us to be still because Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know. Not do more.
Yeah.
And not guess. He doesn't say, hey, go guess.
Yeah.
I need you to grab a hold of that today because he doesn't say, go do more so you could find me.
Facts. He says the whole Mary and Martha.
Yes, he's still.
He says she's in the space. She's in the place of utmost importance.
Yeah,
and that's at his feet.
I think when we really think about it, and this might mess y'all up, but spiritual warfare starts in stillness. I believe stillness is spiritual warfare.
I believe even spiritual warfare is the war between us, my spirit and the flesh.
Oh, all day
it's
long.
Not necessarily against demons.
But even if you want to destroy, think about the things that fasting and prayer.
Yeah, come on.
So I got to learn to be still and hear. I got to know his word so I can hear his whisper. Because when you're walking and you're living, you should hear going this way, you know, do this. Sometimes you're not. And if, you know, and I learned this a long time ago with the whole parole thing, you know, when I left and went somewhere and they were like, well, you didn't talk to me.
Yeah.
Right? She was like, you didn't talk to me. Next time you're going back. And I'm like, dang, but I mean, I called 5 times, right?
Yeah.
She said, did you hear me? Did I answer? I said, no. She said, well, then
that's hard.
That was your answer. So I'm like, dang, right?
The priest.
It bothered me.
Yeah.
But I learned so much from that. We think, oh, I didn't hear God. So now all of a sudden you're guessing.
Yeah.
If he ain't saying nothing, but it's been a year, so.
Yeah, sit still.
Yeah, so. It doesn't mean you just kind of go to sleep somewhere.
No, it means
handle the task at hand.
Well, the waiting is not just sitting down and waiting. It's actually being attentive to him.
Yeah, and doing what you have, right? Because there's something you could be doing according to where you're at in that season.
Being pruned.
Stop trying to grab a hold of all these things. Yeah. He's like, you know, that's where all this anxiety. So being still, listen more than you talk. So over here, well, obviously it's a podcast, and we're like chopping it up.
Yeah.
And when I'm preaching, we're chopping it up. But in like my hangout setting and stuff, I do a lot of this. So tell me da-da-da. And I enjoy it because it puts me in a place of, you know, my gifting is talking. So obviously we're a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So I've worked twice as hard at listening.
To listen.
Because I don't want to have the excuse, well, I'm a mouth. So no, but I also have ears.
Yeah.
Right, and I need to listen in order to properly speak into your life. So shepherding, even business, anything you could think of that you do in life, listening actually comes first before you talk.
Well, I feel like if you can't listen to people, you can't really say you listen to God.
Yeah.
Because in order for you to listen to people, you have to practice being quiet and paying attention to somebody who's tangible. And to practice being quiet and paying attention to somebody who you can't see takes more effort.
Well, yeah. When you do it there, though, it goes this way. The reason people can't do it here is why he says, if you don't love people, then you don't love me and you're a liar. Because he's basically saying, I'm love.
Yeah, if you
and
love
so
me,
so if
it
you
flows
are connected
out.
To love, then love should be spewing, even if it's a little.
Yep.
You with me?
Yep.
So most of the things I was telling them yesterday, in these quiet times and in these times where you're thinking, I was like, we had talked about being filled with the fullness of God. And I went around and I asked everybody, hey, what does that mean? And so I was like, I want you to think about it this way, okay? Because I want you to think about being filled with the fullness of God. I said, look, it's like having a sponge, and in the bowl, is we're going to call the word is water. So in this water, you have peace, joy, patience, kindness, in this water. Okay? What we try to do is not put the sponge in there. We try to, like, put the sponge out here.
Dip it.
And try to either dip it or sometimes nothing. You try to squeeze it out. Now, if I had a sponge here and I tried to squeeze that out, hard. That's your own effort. Yeah. So if I take that very same sponge and the word, I think it's the Greek word. It's either Greek or the Hebrew word, but the word for it, filled with the fullness of God, is saturate.
Yeah.
So you're actually sitting in that. Just sitting in it. And it's soaking up this peace. It's soaking up. Okay, when you pull that sponge out, if I was to go like this, you'd get some.
Oh, yeah.
If
you gotta squeeze
it. If I put it anywhere, it's going to leave fire. Fingerprints of wet. What we do is we know the water's there, but we don't sit in it. And so then we're trying to just think about how hard it would be. Even if I put a little, so hard. But if I just sit in it and I get filled and I start thinking, thank you, Lord, that there was a time where I was your enemy and you reconciled me back to the Father. And because of that, me and you are at peace.
Amen.
We're not at war. You're for me. You're not against me. So I'm having these dialogues. And when I go hang out with you, when you do something, I'm thinking from that.
Yep.
And so that's the importance of this, especially to everybody who, all my grinding folks out there, all my business people, is that sometimes we run and we don't saturate. We don't get filled. So we're running. And then when you have a thing, you want to jump in the water real quick. And it's like, visit, you're not living from.
Yeah.
You're pretty much not connected. It's where you build that relationship.
We visit, we don't remain.
Yeah. So
it says, apart from you, you can't produce any good fruit.
Just a couple things. If you're, what it looks like if you're not doing that, when you're hearing God, you're not tossed around emotionally. Right?
You're feelings just don't
throw you everywhere. You're not double minded. You make faith led decisions.
Faith led?
Faith led. Right? Because faith is when God is speaking to us through His word and we move in that direction. You know, I like divine persuasion. Yeah, so faith led instead of fear led. What it looks like is you walk in peace, you have clarity. You have a different kind of boldness.
Confidence. Come on.
Confidence. Even when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, amen. Okay. Or you don't understand.
Yep. And when you're not hearing God, you're chasing signs. You're confused. You have high levels of anxiety. And as you said, you're double-minded. And you might know about God, but struggle to feel close to Him. And again, when I say that, in His presence, you know, when I walk out the things of the Spirit, I'm in His presence.
Yeah.
But if I don't walk it out, I'm not in His presence. Yeah. I'm probably in
the
vicinity.
Well, you're in ourselves.
I'm in the vicinity of His presence, even though it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not tapping into it, right?
I think about the children of Israel. When you're not walking in the Spirit, you're probably in the wilderness longer than you should be.
All day long.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah, you're suffering more than you should have to.
Yep. So the louder the world gets, the more valuable His whisper becomes. But here's the truth. God's whisper is always available to the one who makes room to listen.
Amen.
God's whisper is always available to the ones who make room to listen. I think sometimes we haven't slowed down enough to kind of hear what He has to say. Right? I think even in the, you know, we implement that here.
Yeah.
I think first week, me and you talking, right, was like something that I had learned from doing it, right? So we're all learning, but we always had these drive-by conversations, and you still might have them with people.
Yeah.
We had to do it here. I had to do it at home, right? Because when I realized we were doing it here, because we would, you know, we sit in somebody's office and we have a quick conversation, and then you get out. And then you're assuming, oh, I just talked to them.
No, yeah.
That was like a drive-by. So like, oh, cool little quick chat. There wasn't like a created meeting for it where you sat down, you wrote it down, you both asked each other questions. It was just a quick tick-a-tick-a-tick-a. Then later you're like, yo, you didn't hear? And they're like, what are you talking about? No, you never said that. And then you have all this confusion.
Yeah.
So we do that with God. How do you know? Because we do it with people.
Yeah, fuck.
So once we became aware, that's why when we had the conversation, I was like, you were like, hey, but didn't we? And I was like, yeah, but those were like a lot of drive-thrus. You know, have a lot of drive-thrus rather than a good sit-down the way we did at the table. And we're like, okay, let's be clear about some of these things. And as we keep going, we keep building that relationship. Well, we have to stop. And so we do it at home too.
Amen.
You're like a quick drive through. So me and Ruthie have quick drive throughs. We have sit downs, and then we also have a time where we open up our calendar every Tuesday early in the morning. We get up early in the morning before we start our day, and we talk a little bit, and we just check the next 2 weeks, and then we're on the same page, and then we go off and running, so that we're not bumping heads and there's no confusion. And it's these little things of stopping where you could, you know, right now we're going to go get an oil change. We can't get it while we're driving down the highway. That would be impossible. I mean, or really messy, or you're going to mess up the car.
Or you'll kill somebody.
Yeah, so what makes you think that you could do that in life?
Yeah.
God's like, yo, I want to give you an oil change. You're like, yo, but give it to me while I'm... you know, hey, I want to give you a tuner. Yeah, like those things are not existent. So I want to challenge everybody, you know,
to be still.
Yeah, he's like, shut up and sit down. Yeah, nah,
especially
like that,
in prison. I think in prison you can get a lot of noise can happen too. So anybody tapping in on the Pando app from prison to identify if your life right now is really noisy, what that noise is, and what you got to do to sit still, to bask in God's presence, because maybe all you got to do is sit still for him to answer. Mm. But you've been waiting for him to answer.
Yeah, and the other part is still is being in his word, right?
Yeah, facts.
Because you sit still, you can hear. If you ain't in his word,
you ain't gonna hear him.
You're gonna hear all kinds of different stuff. You're gonna hear the devil's gonna be like, I got it.
You're gonna hear crickets.
So hey, listen. Thank you for hanging out, or for all the real ones for hanging out with us today. If this blessed you, share it with someone. I got to remind myself of this sharing stuff. Share it with someone who's feeling spiritually distant with somebody right now. And if you haven't already, follow the podcast, leave a review, check out our community, join us at Get Wrapped Church, and let's keep it real with Jesus. And until next time, stay tuned as you keep listening to God's whisper.
Amen.
Peace. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.